Deerhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Good morning and welcome in. Thanks for tuning in and hanging out. It is Saturday, October 19th, 2024. You know what that means? Does anybody but me know what that means? Probably not. Well, it's Leanne's birthday, so wish her a happy birthday. I would sing the song, but the last time I sang on this show, it didn't go over very well, so we'll leave that alone. But yes, it is Leanne's birthday today, so I had to wish her a very happy birthday. If you're just tuning in, this is Gearhead Radio. Phone lines are open, 805-238-KPRL. That's 805-238-5775. Please call in and interrupt at any time. I'd love to hear about what's going on with your vehicle. If you have any questions, you got something going on with your car, you want to talk about it? You want to talk about the auto industry? You heard something in the news that maybe I don't know about? Let's talk about it. Also, any events you got going on? I know we're getting down kind of the slow season, so the car shows are getting a little less. We're getting out of what they call the thick of it. So anything that you know of is going on here soon or today, I'd love to hear about it. I think the cruise nights are still going on. I think technically they've, as far as the Friday nights, technically shut down, but people are still showing up. So keep that in mind. Templeton, Atascadero, Paso Robles, Santa Margarita. Every Friday of the month is the rotation there. If you want to get out and the weather's nice enough, which it still is, I'm glad it's not 100 degrees anymore. It's the air, just like someone flipped a switch, right? And it's nice and crispy, and we're definitely in the fall now, which means a whole another set of concerns that you should be concerned about with your vehicle. So keep that in mind as the weather gets colder. We're going to have a problem with batteries. You know, we're going to start looking back into different things to make sure that we are not winter prepared, but at least cold weather prepared. And especially when the rains come, like your windshield wipers, get those taken care of before it starts raining. That's usually preferred. And I always say that too with the windshield wipers. It's more than just like the rain. It's when it's like sprinkles a little bit and then the cars in front of you are flicking all the dirt up and then you're trying to, you know, clean and it just smears all that grime and dirt and just scratching your windshield because your windshield wipers are old and brittle and hard, and so it's not good. Make sure you got fresh ones on there before you start doing that kind of stuff. What do I have today? So weather. Let's get to weather. The weather today looking like about 80. So it's going to be a nice day today. Tomorrow, a little bit warmer, 83. All next week, we're staying into the mid to the high 80s. Looks like about 87 on Wednesday. Be a little warmish. That's definitely a jacket in the morning and t-shirt in the afternoon kind of day, but as expected. Through the end of the week, dropping down to the 79, and next weekend is going to be another great weekend. Mostly sunny, 81 degrees. And I bring that up because October 26th, is the big car show barbecue fundraiser. And we have just, I can't believe the amount of support that's come out of this community. It's just absolutely fantastic. I think we've just eclipsed 200 barbecue tickets sold. And we're looking like we're coming up on about 100 vehicles that will be entered. And we still have a week to go. And if you're anything like me, you like to wait to the last minute. And so I'm assuming next week, we'll probably double that. That's just how it goes. And I think we're anticipating that. So if you have a vehicle you want to enter, please reach out. 805 Community Car Care Centers at gmail.com. You can come by our shop, 1621 North River Road at Shifting Gears Auto Repair. You can get signed up there. There's tons of other vendor locations. If you email, I can send you the flyer of all the other sponsored locations in the area that you can also go to sign up for. It's you're not going to want to miss it. Barbecue tri-tip sandwich for $15. Chips, a cookie, and a soda. You can't beat that. And there's going to be a car show, free to get in. So even if you just want to bring the kids somewhere, there's a bounce house going on. You can bring the kids down, let the kids go crazy in the bounce house. You can go check out the cars, get yourself a tri-tip sandwich. Plus, there's a silent auction. And if you were listening to Diane's show, I hadn't announced at the end of it, we actually have Ron Capps. He has an awesome VIP experience that he donated to the event. It's a full-on experience the whole day. You get to hang out with him, watch the races at Sonoma or Pomona next year. So whatever one you want to pick. If you don't know who Ron Capps is, he's the Napa NHRA the race car driver. He, you know, does 330 miles an hour. That guy. The guy that doesn't like to work a lot. Remember, it's like after 3 seconds he gets tired. Because anyway, you gotta see the commercial. But so he's donated his VIP package. You're gonna be behind the scenes, watch him break the whole car down, put it all back together. You'll spend the whole day with him, have lunch with him, ask him all the questions in the world. So it's a cool thing. Not to mention about, I think, 40 or 50 other locally donated items in the silent auction, from hotel stays, Airbnb stays, baskets of wine, really cool benches made out of tailgates from Paso Robles Auto Wrecking, stuff from our local Snap-on guy, really cool tools and stuff like that. Tons of stuff I'm forgetting right now, but there's so much stuff. It's going to be a good time. So write that down in your calendar. October 26th, 11 to 4 at the Estrella Warbird Museum. All right, moving on. Let's get to the car stuff. So as we get into the fall season, we got to talk about fall weather maintenance. And one thing I get a lot of question of is like the tune-up, right? You want to get your vehicle tuned up. The oil change, the oil service, whatever you want to call it. We know what that is. We drain the oil out, replace the filter, and we put everything back together. And God willing, nothing leaks and everything goes good. So that's just your oil service, your oil change. But the tune-up has changed over the years, right? It used to be these older vehicles, and let's go way back. Let's get in the Wayback Machine and like go 50 or 60 years back. Condenser, points, wires, spark plugs, adjust the valves. Man, what else was there? Getting beyond my time there. We'll go forward another century there, and we're tuning up the carburetor, right? And all that stuff had to be constantly maintained and, in quotes, tuned up, because over time you would lose the adjustments in the carburetor, right? They're metered air leaks, and so over time either the pintle wears out or the seals start getting a little not as soft. And so there's little adjustments you needed to make sure that the carburetor was set right. Good morning. You're on Gearhead Radio.
Good morning, Jimmy. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm hanging in there.
Hey, there's still a couple of car deals coming up here on November 24th down in Tascadero at the 1010 Automotive down in Tascadero.
Oh, yeah. 1010 Garage.
1010 Garage, yeah. Yep. The November 24th is for Gene Winfield benefit.
That's right. Yep.
So that's coming up. And then on the December 7th, there's out of Daniel Woodlands, there's a toy drive.
Oh, that's right. The Toy Bank fundraiser.
Toy Bank, yeah. So we still got a couple things coming up for people can show off their cars.
That's usually a pretty big community show. Yeah, that's a pretty big show, too, because they do it at the Woodlands Museum. And he does tours of the whole facility, right?
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, that was a cool event last year. I remember we did the tour of the building. That was like mind-blowing that all that artistic talent is like sitting right there in Paso Robles. That blew me away a little bit.
Yeah, the tiki room and all that. That's all pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's good stuff. I'll put that on the calendar. I'll make sure I keep I'll keep that on the calendar.
Yeah, so yeah, don't give up on the car stuff yet.
Never.
Never.
Never. Cool.
All right, Jimmy.
Thanks, Tom.
We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
There's always something to do. There's always something. Yeah, the Toy Bank Drive at the Daniel's Woodland, that's an awesome event. That's a really cool one. And then for Gene Winfield, yeah, if you don't know Gene Winfield, pretty famous builder, fabricator. So that's going to be a really cool event. Yeah. So get back to the tune-ups here. So when we're talking about tuning a carburetor, tuning most of the vehicles nowadays versus the old style ones, and over the years, like you get to like 60s and 70s when we're talking about points and coils, condensers, and then we get into the 80s and we're still talking about carburetors and plugs and wires and cap and rotor, right? And then we get up any more and we have coil on plugs or COPs, what they call it. COPs, coil on plugs with little short wires. So you could do the wires, but they lasted a lot longer because the resistance wouldn't build as much because the wire isn't as long. So you don't have to worry about that as much. So you're just looking at basically spark plugs and you basically replace the coils as they fail. You don't really need to replace them, you know, and that's, so it's difficult when you talk about tune-ups in this day and age because there is so many different vehicles on the road and there's so many different things that need to be kept up on. And we could say, well, let's do a tune-up and we'll replace all 8 coils and replace all 8 spark plugs, right? Well, that's not as important as making sure that the coolant glycol and all the chemicals in the coolant are where they need to be. So maybe that money should be actually invested in that because the engines built now are a little different than they were built at a, you know, cast iron 40 years ago. You know, so we got the, there's a lot to unpack here. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back with more.
Emotion, dis-ease, disease. E, space, motion, movement, dynamics like we have with our children. Dis-ease is when we alter those dynamics. Disease is the effect from altering those dynamics. I've had doctors contact me and said, you have just summed up everything we need to know about health in those 3 words. All diseases are simply the altering of emotion to a lesser state. I will help you rediscover that fountain of youth. This is Gary Whiting, the fitness doctor. If you make me part of your health and fitness problems, I will become part of your health and fitness solutions. Remember, old farts don't drool, they rule. For men over 70, training at the Paso Robles Sports Club. 805-400-4460. Again, that's 805-400-4460.
The Paso Robles Main Street Association, in cooperation with the City of Paso Robles and community volunteers, presents the 62nd Annual Holiday Light Parade this Saturday night at 6 in downtown Paso Robles. You'll enjoy the sights and sounds of the holiday spirit, and Santa arrives at the end of the parade to kick off the holiday season. The 62nd Annual Holiday Light Parade this Saturday night at 6 in downtown Paso Robles.
I'm Ron Torres, owner of Seniors Helping Seniors. I left corporate America to help seniors who need friendship, non-medical care, and a helping hand. Seniors have great conversations and understand each other. Join our team of mature caregivers. Or maybe you need that helping hand. Call me, 805-369-2110, 369-2110, or seniorcareslo.com. That's seniorcareslo.com. Seniors Helping Seniors.
Every piece of jewelry is something to be treasured for a lifetime. It can be a symbol of eternal love or a family heirloom. When your jewelry needs repairing, you want to put it in the hands of someone you trust. At Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry in Paso Robles, you'll find Mike, a highly skilled master jeweler with over 35 years of experience, who stands behind his work. While some jewelry stores outsource their repairs, Bella Jewel does all repairs on-site in their modern state-of-the-art repair shop. You can count on quality repair services with fast turnaround. Even if you didn't buy your jewelry from Bella Jewel, they are there to help. Stop in for a complimentary ring inspection and free repair estimate. Located at 1224 Pine Street, downtown Paso Robles, one block north of the park, Bella Jewel offers fine jewelry, exceptional service at affordable prices.
Welcome back in. You're tuned in to Gearhead Radio with your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair, located right here in Paso Robles. Listen, if you're not familiar with our shop, we are full automotive, preventative maintenance, tune-ups, all that kind of fun stuff. Speaking of tune-ups, I just had to Had to plug that in there. Also got a quick update for you. So if you're interested in any of those events that Tom called in about with the Gene Winfield fundraiser and the Daniels Woodland toy bank drive, and you're wondering which one you should go to, well, good news for you. They've actually just combined. So I just got the news that those two events are actually now one. So you'll be able to head down to Daniels Woodland for the toy bank drive and be able to support Gene Winfield with the with his fundraiser there. So definitely put that on your calendar. That's going to be in December. So we got a little bit of time. But the way this year's going by, it's like maybe 15 or 20 minutes and it'll be December. So not to add insult to injury, but. So let's talk back about tune-ups here. So talking about carburetors and adjusting carburetors and why we all need to do that kind of stuff. So let's go back a little bit more and talk about what the points are, the points in the condenser. So we had a distributor, right? And the distributor is what distributes spark to the spark plugs. You know, a lot of it's pretty simple. It's very layman's terms. If you really think about like automotive terminology and the different things that we use, it's very straightforward most of the time. Spark plug wires, those are, you know, wires for the spark plugs. They go to the distributor, which distributes the spark. So the points is what it sits inside of the distributor. Now, every time the distributor rotates, those points would open because there's little cam, like a little lobe, which would open up the points and then slam the point shut. And that would relay the spark through the king lead into the main leads out to the spark plugs. Now, over time, you could imagine as these things are shutting and opening, it's creating a spark. And every time it arcs, it starts wearing those points down. So you would have to go in there and adjust the points. Pretty simple thing to do. It's actually very, very simple. Unless you've never done it before, and then it's like building an arc. You have no idea what the hell's going on. But once you did it a couple times, it was fairly simple to do. So that was part of the package of doing a tune-up. We'll go in there and adjust the points or replace them if necessary. It was two screws, you pop them out, put some new ones in, hook the wire up, and away you go. Then over time, as that rotor, which rotates inside of the distributor, it also has a point contact, which contacts the points inside of the distributor. The distributor cap has individual points that the wires on top connect to. So over time, the same process would happen. And it still does. There's still vehicles out there, not built today, but that are still relevant that have distributor caps and distributors. And as that rotor is rotating around, it's creating an arc every time it passes, which spark plug is going to send the pulse of voltage down, and it wears that points down. So over time, you got to replace your cap and rotor because there is no adjustment there. You just got to replace them once they're worn down. Same with the spark plugs. Every time that spark plug arcs, it starts wearing down the bridge, which is the little part that's bent over the top of the electrode, and that wears down. And that's still a preventative maintenance item to this day. They've come up with better metals, iridium, and different hard minerals and different hard materials, excuse me, that avoid that breaking down. But over time, they do wear down. So going from like 40 or 50,000 for spark plugs can now be extended to like 90 to 110,000 miles. They just last longer. They also cost a lot more. Looked at the price of spark plugs. They're not $2 anymore, right? They're $15, $20 per spark plug. So they better last longer. Does that cost comparison come into relation for that extra 30,000 miles? I'm not sure. That's a difficult conversation because there's a lot that goes in play there. And I bring that up because in that, say, 30 or 40,000 miles, it's not like you get to 40,000 miles and now the spark plugs are worn out, right? It's not 39,999 miles and you're good and you clicks that one. Okay, now the spark plugs need to be replaced. It's the 10,000 miles before. They've degraded, right? So they say up to that point. So once you get to that mileage interval, that's when they have gone way past the manufacturer's specifications that they need to be replaced. So what does that mean to you? You're losing efficiency. You're losing fuel mileage. So using better spark plugs that last longer, the life of the spark plug gives you more efficiency and more fuel economy in that time. So it might be worth spending the extra bucks to get the better spark plugs in the long run. When you're talking about fuel being $5 a gallon, and then it makes a difference. Definitely helps a lot. But getting back to the other maintenance stuff. So spark plugs as well, spark plug wires. Now plug wires over time, there's a certain resistance in that wire. And the same thing as every time that spark charge goes down to hit the spark plug. And if we're talking about, idling 1,000 RPMs, revolutions per minute, that's a lot of sparks going down just sitting there idling, right? It's just hitting that spark. So over time, it starts breaking down the conductors that are in that plug wire, and the resistance starts to grow. And as the resistance grows, that's the resistance to allow the spark to travel down to the spark plug. Well, then the spark plug is not going to burn as bright or as hot because it doesn't get as much kilovolts or amperage going down to that to make that jump across the electrode gap, right? So you want to make sure your plug wires are in good shape. And then over time, they do get down to the point where they've got hot and cold so many times that the insulation on the outside cracks and breaks, and then you have a spark leak. And a spark leak is basically that. The spark is just jumping out, and instead of getting to the spark plug, it just jumps out and hits the valve cover or whatever else piece of metal's in the way. So, good morning. You're on Gearhead Radio. Anybody there?
Oh, hello?
Hey.
Yeah, hi. I had another question.
Yeah, what do you got?
When you do a compression check, when I was putting the tester away, I looked on the lid, and I was already through with doing that. I didn't want to do it again, but it said to have the throttle open. I didn't have the throttle open when I did a compression check. Does that affect that test in any way?
Slightly, yes, it does. The throttle plate should be open, but it's not going to make the biggest difference in the world. If you're talking about a 2 to 5% change, then yes, the throttle plate needs to be open. But if you're just looking for a static compression to make sure you got, you know, say 110 to 120 PSI, it's not going to make that much of a difference. But if you're doing a balance test across all cylinders, and you're doing a percentage to see if there's a drop in any of them, then you do need to have the throttle plate open.
Okay. Because I did that test because I was talking about that cylinder one misfire. So the compression checked out fair. So the only thing I think I have left is maybe the fuel injector, maybe. But if I disconnect it, should it run any worse or any better?
If you disconnect
it? Connect an individual fuel injector to see if it works or not.
I see. That's going to be... That's a tough question to answer because it's like tasting the flavor of an ingredient, right? Unless you know what you're looking for, it's going to be difficult to pinpoint if you heard something different. To answer your question, yes, that is a valid test, and that is something I do. It's just like a power balance. If the vehicle's running, you can pull the spark plug off and see if the engine, if it drops.
What about the spark plug? Because the spark plugs are like real clean in a sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How would it burn if your fuel injector's not working? How would that spark plug look?
The spark plug should have a little bit of black. It should look like there's been fuel on it and it's been burned, right? Like you dumped it in fuel and you lit it with a match. It should have a little bit of blackness to it. It should not be bright clean, you know, like clean, clean, clean. It should have a little tinge to it. And you can disconnect it, like, back to your question, you can disconnect the injector and plug it back in, and you should have a noticeable change in that engine idle, just as if you were to pull the spark plug wire off.
Considering I'm thinking it's the fuel injector, so...
What I would do if you're going down that...
It should not run any different if I disconnect it, right?
It should run very different, yes.
No, I mean, considering I'm thinking it's the fuel injector that's not working.
So if it was bad, no,
disconnect it, it should run the same, right?
Correct. It'll run the same. So if I were you, the first thing I would do is make sure that injector is getting 12 volts with a test light. So one of the two wires should have 12 volts all the time.
Oh, okay.
And then the other wire that doesn't have a constant 12 volts, take your test light and put the lead to power instead of ground. Put that lead of the test light in that other wire, and that will ground that circuit, and it should flash that test light. So the computer is going to send a pulse, a ground pulse, to one of those wires on the injectors, and it will pulse it. So that's why you put your lead on the positive side of the battery, and then use that wire for ground, and the computer should be controlling that, and you should see that light flashing. It's a similar test to doing with like a NOID light. So you want to make sure you got power on one side and you got a pulsing ground on the other. If you do, the next test I would do is swap that injector with another injector and see if that misfire changes to the other cylinder.
I see you're coming too close. I have one more question. I'll call you back.
Sure. Sounds good. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Got to take a short break. But don't go anywhere because this saga of the Mazda will continue.
Ace Auto Care, across the street from Atascadero Hay and Feed in Atascadero.
Fox News, I'm Jack Callahan. There's been a drone attack aimed at Israel's prime minister.
Israel says there was a drone strike launched at Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's vacation home. Israel says the drone was launched from Lebanon into Caesarea. It did not hit Netanyahu's house.
Fox's Matt Finn in Tel Aviv. Israel believes the attack was attempted retaliation by Iran for the strike this week that killed Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar. There were nearly 200 projectiles fired at northern Israel from Lebanon today. There's also been an airstrike in the suburb of Beirut. President Trump holds a rally in Latrobe, Pennsylvania today. Vice President Harris campaigns in Georgia. Power is still out across all of Cuba. The country's electric grid shutting down yesterday after the failure of a key power plant. There is no official estimate when power in Cuba will be restored. America is listening to Fox News.
AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM, the right choice. The right choice for local news with Chris Garcia. The right choice for Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi, Monday afternoons at 1. The right choice for Protecting What Matters, Tuesdays at 1230 with Barry Fisher. The right choice for Sound Off, Wednesdays and Thursdays at 1230 with Karen Vili. And the right choice for Open Mic Friday, 1230 till 2 with Al Fonzi. It's all the right choice here on AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM. Is this a sign you need a sign? The Blue Printer and Graphics in downtown Paso Robles can help your business be seen. In addition to flyers, business cards, invitations, wine club signups, and blueprints, the Blue Printer and Graphics offers vinyl banners, PVC, coroplast, and metal signs, as well as full-color posters. Check out their new website at pasoblue.com. That's pasoblue.com. And be seen with the Blue Printer and Graphics in downtown Paso Robles.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Heater not helping much? Call Hutch. Hutch Heating and Air in Atascadero. Just like changing the oil in your car, changing the filter in your heating and air conditioning system will make it last longer and cost less to operate, which means more time in between needing a service technician, like me, Jared. But when you do, please remember us. Heater not helping much? Call Hutch. Hutch Heating and Air in Atascadero. Call us at 466-8199 and on the web at hutchhvac@yahoo.com.
Well, I've got some beds that have a special cover.
This is Rich London, the mattress specialist in Paso Robles.
Not only is it latex underneath for comfort and springs for support, but the cover itself is about 5 degrees cooler than the normal mattress. So if you're sleeping hot, now's the time to come in and check these beds out because they are not only comfortable, but they're nice and cool to sleep on. And the prices definitely are right.
The mattress specialist is at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Everything is on sale, so I urge people to come on down and take advantage.
We see you there, stuck in traffic, maybe a cubicle, daydreaming about an escape, a place where infinite horizons mean more freedom. We're going big this October at Chumash Casino Resort, giving away over $500,000 in cash and prizes. That's something. Everything you need to find yourself elsewhere. Drawings every Sunday, earn entries now. And hey, welcome to freedom. Must be present to win. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And welcome back. This is Gearhead Radio. You are tuned into 99.3 KPRL or 12:30 a.m. Whichever you prefer. The 99.3 FM is definitely a lot clearer. So if you really want the smooth crispness of my voice, I would definitely go over the FM. But to each their own. So tune-ups and the saga of the Mazda. You know, that's an important thing too when you're talking about tune-ups and checking fuel injectors and how many different components can you possibly replace and still be considered preventative maintenance. I'll get into that in just a minute. Good morning, you're on Gearhead Radio. Oh, we lost them. Changed their mind. You know, when you look into manufacturers' specifications for parts that need to be replaced, it's very difficult, right? And it's difficult as the service provider, as the professional in the industry, to make the right recommendations. Technically, if the vehicle drove into the shop, it doesn't need anything, right? Unless it's like comes in smoking or whatever, right? But of course, if it comes in on the flatbed, on the tow truck, or on the hook, it's going to need something to get back onto the road. But if you come in for say an oil service, and there's some recommendations that are made, technically, you really don't need anything. If you didn't hear anything, it doesn't do anything weird, and it starts and runs and drives, right? Really, all you need is to put fuel in the thing once a week, technically, right? So where do we take that and blur that into everything else as we go down the line? Everything has a cause and effect on everything else as we go down. Now, I've looked into some manufacturers, you know, recommended service maintenance, what do you call it, in the service manual. The O2 sensors, right? The oxygen sensors should be replaced every 100 to 150,000 miles. Also, if that O2 sensor begins to fail, it's going to set an engine light. So why don't we just wait for the engine light to come on before we start replacing things that they're calling a maintenance item, right? That's tough because I know you might be listening right now and you're thinking to yourself, hell, I would just wait for the engine light to come on. I'm not spending money. But then there's someone listening right now that say, well, I don't want the engine light on. I want to replace that before the problem happens. And that, in a nutshell, is why you can't make everybody happy, right? And it's trying to find that fine line between the two, because believe it or not, somebody that's listening right now in the car next to you or in the house next to you has the exact opposite opinion that you do, believe it or not. Can you wrap your head around that for a minute? So and they look at their vehicle completely different than you do. So it is very difficult to try to find that common ground and make sure we're doing the right thing. And in some instances, I have to kind of pull back in one and push in the other, right? If the engine light's on, it needs to be replaced. I know the vehicle doesn't need to be replaced. It needs to be fixed. I know it still runs fine. Everything seems fine. It's just the stupid light that's on the dash. No, it needs to be fixed. There's a problem there, right? And the computer's trying really, really hard to adjust all the other sensors to compensate for whatever that problem is. And it's going to cause bigger problems down the road. And it's just never ceases to amaze me that how that light comes on, within 30 seconds, I have a phone call from some clients. I need this off right away. And then others, they come in and the engine light is on, and I let them know that. And they say, oh yeah, that's been on for about 6 months, right? It's just such a total polar opposite of how the vehicles are maintained. But we'll come to some common ground on that one. That one needs to be fixed, right? And then moving forward from there, there's oil services, transmission fluid, brake fluid, coolant, power steering fluid. All the fluids need to be replaced. Regardless of what the manufacturer says about lifetime fluids, every fluid in the vehicle needs to be replaced at some point in its life. And if you don't replace the fluid, it will replace itself. As in, it's something catastrophic is going to go and you're going to replace the whole unit, right? Differential fluids, transfer case fluids, you know, the stuff under the vehicle that just gets ignored. That's all important stuff, especially after 100,000 miles. It's like, it's been fine for 100,000 miles. Why do I need to change it now? Well, that's the lifetime of the fluid. And it's also difficult after 10 years to think that something needs to be changed. It does. Believe it or not, sometimes we got to change some stuff after 10 years. But it just, Yeah. So to talk about tune-up, I know that kind of goes off on a tangent there a little bit, but the tune-ups have changed over time. And so getting back to that and the modern age tune-up, we're not adjusting carburetors anymore. We're not doing plugs and, well, we're doing plugs, but we're not doing the wires, the cap, the rotor. We're not doing points. We're not doing that kind of stuff. And we're not going to replace the ignition coils because the spark plugs are being replaced. It's not a bad idea, but it doesn't need to be done because, again, you're going to have a problem. But then there's that polar opposite again, where if we have to pull the upper intake manifold off of the vehicle to access the spark plugs that are in the rear section of it, that's a lot of money you're spending in labor to remove those components. The coils do get removed to replace the spark plugs. So is that the time to replace the coils, considering all that time and money has been spent to get down into the engine to pull those spark plugs out? Well, there was no problem with the coils when we pulled them out. We're just doing maintenance. It's got 80,000 miles on it, and the spark plugs are a great time to replace. That's the time to replace them, to make sure that the coils don't fail. Because keep in mind, that's why you're replacing the spark plugs, to help with fuel economy. But as I was talking earlier about the spark needs to jump that gap, well, if that plug is worn down and those coils are having to dwell or having to wait or send a larger pulse of electricity to make that gap, it's going to overheat the coil and then they're going to fail prematurely. That's the point of it. That's why you do spark plugs on coil over plugs. It's just difficult. Do we replace coils now or do we wait for them to fail? Because they might fail in 2 months and you come back and you're pretty upset because you got to pay all that labor again to do them again. So it's a tough line to cross there. Good morning. You're on Gearhead Radio.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, a few years ago, there was a young man I knew that was taking engineering classes in college. I think he's graduated by now. But I tried to explain to him how an old ignition system worked, how, you know, the points close and the voltage goes through and the coil builds up a field around it and the point opens and it sends the spark out the spark plug wire.
It's pretty awesome.
Said,
yeah.
Wow. He said, wow, that's neat. And I said, you know, this V8 engine at idle at 700 RPM, it does that 4 times every time the engine goes around.
Right.
And he said, you could see his eyes are kind of like, what? And I said, oh, that's just at idle. Well, this thing gets to be about 5,000 RPM.
7,500 RPM.
Yeah, 20,000 times a minute it does this.
Right. Consistently and perfectly.
Just totally dumbfounded.
Yeah. And not only that, but for like 300,000 miles, right?
Oh, not just once. You're right.
Never skipping a beat. You know, that was also mind-blowing for me when it was like, when you really look into the physics behind it, but like the hybrids, and I've talked about this before, but like the Priuses and the hybrids, how they can take the AC motor and it's a 3-phase electric motor, right? And then it's either a generator or an electric motor, and it has the switching transistor boards in the transistor board itself, and it'd be able to like turn from a generator when you're decelerating to a motor instantaneously and know exactly. And it's a 3-phase motor, so you have 3 commutators right on this electric motor, like. And it does that over and over and over and over for 300,000 miles, and it never skips a beat. That also blew my mind. When I did the hybrid class, I wasn't against hybrids, but I'm like, oh, it's a freaking Prius, you know? I'm like, everybody else like, oh, it's a Prius, who cares? But then you start learning about how it works, and you're like, this is a freaking technical. Does everybody else know about this? It's like,
yeah,
oh my God, like this is more than a rocket ship that takes in people to the moon, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, the ignition system, when was that single coil distributor was first invented? What, in about 1920 or something like that?
Yeah, well, the Model T, remember the coil boxes on the Model Ts? It was like 3 little coil boxes there. And, man, those buggers, they would zap you good. I've had a few of the old ones in there.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen guys wire them to a vise. So when their buddies hit the vise, you know, it, like, shocks them. But, that was pretty much the very first beginnings of that coil coming out, and it's the same basic concept. What blew me away was the museum when we were up in Alaska was they take the DC, the AC voltage and convert it to DC through a light bulb. The gas in the light bulb would convert that analog to a DC, and they use that to charge. That was the very first electric vehicles, like 1890. And to recharge the battery, that's what they used as the charger. You'd plug it in your normal wall socket, and somehow the AC would convert through the gas of the light bulb and turn into DC. I sat there for 45 minutes and I'm like, I don't understand. I'm not understanding this. How did they know that was
again.
how did they know that was going to work? Like I get what you're saying, but like who did this? Like they couldn't Google it. They could. It was like, how did they know the gas in that bulb was going to be able to convert that signal from an AC to a DC? Like, and how'd they even know the two even like existed? Yeah, that blew me away too.
Yeah, you know, so many of these things. This is a guy who's either a certified genius or a certified wacko that came up with this stuff.
I feel that way. I feel that way at the shop every day, too.
The Prius, too. I mean, you're right about that. I think the ignition system's amazing. And then you got, you know, gosh, you know, I talked about it before that the first, you know, moon launches were done with about a 20% of the electronics are in the phone I'm talking on.
Right, right. Those poor guys. Those poor souls, man. They had no idea what they were getting themselves into.
Those were tough son of a guns, I tell you. And if it didn't work, they kicked it.
Oh, man. Yeah, no. There was no Facebook they could go on. They just had to, like, sit there and talk to each other. Yeah.
No wonder they hurried home. All right. Hey, thanks.
Hey, thanks. Bye. Oh, what a lonely trip up there in the star zone. I've watched every single documentary about all those Apollo launches, podcasts, whatever I can get my hands on to. It's just like you were just up there in nothingness with like a basic calculator. Crazy. Good morning. You're on Gearhead Radio.
Hey. It's me again.
Yes.
Real quick before I ask my question. Two things that still blow my mind to this day, and I can't grasp or comprehend, is hydraulic, how powerful hydraulic is, and transmissions. Those just blow my mind.
They're one and the same. Yeah. we got you right at the break.
Are you going to commercial again?
Right at the break again.
Okay. The other thing I just want to know about how important GAP is. Like, you know how you have the universal GAP tool you can buy on the counter?
The GAP. Are you talking about Spark plug gap?
If you could talk about that, like how important a gap is, and if you're off two, you know, does that matter?
Is it? I hope you meant spark plug gap, right?
Yes.
Okay, got it. We'll do it. Thanks, buddy.
I was just wondering about, you know, the differences if you're off two or whatnot.
You got it.
All right.
Bye.
Blaze & Bear Insurance Services is dedicated to protecting what matters to help clients achieve their strategic goals and objectives. We guide business owners in the areas of key person, business protection, succession, and estate planning, utilizing a secure online business valuation tool that helps them grow and manage their business. We mentor individuals and families to help them strengthen and protect their financial standing with the appropriate use of various life and disability insurance products. And we work with those approaching retirement who are interested in fixed annuities and planning for long-term care needs. We employ a consultative approach to the insurance planning process, making sure that it aligns with your big picture financial goals and objectives. This is Barry Fisher, Blaze & Bear Insurance. You deserve a sound and well-balanced strategy and plan. Call today, 805-635-7200, or visit blazeandbear.com. And don't miss our weekly radio show, Protecting What Matters, on KPRL, Tuesday, starting at 12:30 p.m.
Savor the flavors of the season at Cella Restaurante and Bar, nestled in the heart of Paso Robles at the Allegretto Vineyard Resort. From seasonal salads to savory mains, each dish is crafted with care. Plus, every Wednesday is industry night, featuring live entertainment and specials on wine, beer, and flatbreads. Reserve your table today by calling 805-369-2503.
I am Central Coast Attorney Dave Durringer, and I believe in faith, family, and freedom. Without faith and family, there is no freedom. So the mission of my law firm, Protective Law Corporation in Morro Bay, is to help families grow family power by transmitting life, fortune, and honor to descendants. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all trusts are not created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain alienable rights, that among these are powers to defer, avoid, or shift taxation, to shelter assets from creditors, that to secure these rights, trusts are created by me. If you are serious about asset protection and family protection, call me, Dave Durringer of Protective Law Corp. in Morro Bay. Dial 805-225-5105 or just click on my phone number at lawnews.tv. Again, lawnews.tv, LAWNEWS.TV.
Kelly Henson Electric in Paso Robles has been serving the county since 2002. Whether you need a panel upgrade, car charger installation, a generator install, or help with design plans and permitting, Kelly Henson is your expert electric company. They don't mind emergency work, and no job is too small. You can see their work at the PAC in Templeton, Twin Cities Hospital in La Venture, and Niner Wineries. Call Kelly Henson Electric, 805-536-1669.
All right. As we're rounding third base for home, the bottom of the ninth, we're in the last 10 minutes of the show. Had to do some baseball references for the Dodger fans out there. Good work this season. Good morning. You're on Gearhead Radio.
Hey, thank you. I haven't been listening, so I may have missed. Sorry, but
no,
is there some clarification you could give me about this barbecue next week?
Oh, of course.
Is it $45 to get in and then $15 for a sandwich?
Well, no. It's free to get in, so you're welcome to come in, check out the cars, check out the auction, walk around, hang out, say hi. $15 will get you a tri-tip sandwich. We should have enough to buy them on site, but we're trying to get as many pre-sales as we can so that way we don't run out. $45 is the car show entry donation suggestion, so it's all based on donations. There is no fees or for anything. It's just a donation that we're looking for to enter your vehicle to be part of the car show.
All right. See, that was the confusion this morning when Diane was talking about it. My wife thought it was $45 entrance fee no matter what.
No. There's no fees for anything. It's all based on donations.
Okay.
So
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You got it.
Sure. Bye.
Bye. I guess I explained that well. Sometimes I go over a little bit. Leanne says I over-explain. I mansplain. And I man-scan too. Do you know what the man-scan is? Have you heard that before? It's when you've looked everywhere and you can't find it, and then she just grabs it. It's like, the ketchup. Where's the ketchup? I looked everywhere. And then just opens the fridge and it's right there on the shelf. Witchcraft. It's witchcraft. I looked there. I guess that's a man scan. Anyway, moving on. So the gap of a spark plug, how important is? I think that was the question that I got, and I'm fairly certain. And that's exactly where I wanted to go with what I was talking about anyway, was with the tune-up. Because it used to be able to gap spark plugs. Might be beyond anybody listening's generation, but there was a time you'd pull the spark plugs out and re-gap them, clean them, and put them back in. So the advent of selling you new spark plugs was ripping you off. That was upselling. That was selling you stuff that you don't need. It was all those negative connotations that you hear in an automotive repair shop. All those horror stories you see on 2020, on NBC, on all this stuff, like, I went in there and sold me stuff that I don't need. That was part of it. They would say, instead of gapping the spark plugs, why don't we just sell you some new ones? That way they're brand new. Why? You're supposed to regap them and clean them and reinstall them. And as we go through the decades, instead of 10 years, they somehow become 2 years now, because every 2 years, these vehicles are changing that much. We're having a decade of new technology in these vehicles every 2 years now. And we're getting to the point where it's going to be like yearly. Right? And so these components that were once cleaned and reinstalled are now needing to be replaced, because that makes more sense. Because the labor involved in removing them is so great that it would be asinine to reinstall them after they're clean. You might as well just put new ones in. And I talked about that with replacing the coils out of the back, the spark plugs out of the back of an engine when you got to pull the manifold off. You know, it might not be a bad idea to do all three of those coils and the spark plugs. That way, if those coils fail in the future, and in our case, that would be in the next 3 years or 36,000 miles, it's covered 100%. We would go in there and we would warranty out that ignition coil. Now, if it fails in a year and you just had the spark plugs done a year ago, well, you're paying to have that labor done again to replace those coils. So all I can do is give you the information, just the facts. That's just the facts. But talking about spark plugs and the gap, and I kind of touched on this a little bit. If those spark plugs are not gapped correctly, you are going to put extra strain on the ignition system. And part of that is the coils. So the ignition coils or the coil itself, the one individual coil that runs through the distributor. Okay, so every time that distributor needs to send spark out to the plugs, or if it's individual coils, every time it sends a spark down to that spark plug, there needs to be a measured gap there. And for the newer vehicles, they're calibrated where they know exactly how long that on time of the coil needs to be on to make that to jump that gap. And that's called dwell, the dwell of the coil. And that's how long it's going to burn through that gap. Now, to actually achieve that spark across the gap, that takes a huge amount of inductance kick. That's a huge spike, tens of thousands of volts to make that initial jump. And then the dwell is going to be how long it actually burns. That's the burn time of that. And it's calculated, and I can measure it. I have tools I can go there. I can actually measure how long that gap is being burned for. Now, we're talking, you know, close to nanoseconds. I mean, it's a very, very short amount of time, but you can actually measure it and watch it, and it's all calculated and measured. Now, if that gap is really, really, it's more than it's supposed to be, well, now that inductive kick is going to be extremely high, much more higher, and the amount of time it takes for that to build up that magnetic charge to actually shoot that spark down has also increased. And that means that now your dwell time, the amount of time that the spark plug can actually burn for, has now shortened, because a lot of that time has been spent trying to jump that gap. I don't know if this is getting a little too technical, but that's in with a microscope, that's kind of that's what's going on. So if the gap is too large, you're taking too much to jump that gap to then you're losing the burn time. So with like high octane motors or big horsepower motors, high compression, you need to gap them more because there's a lot more static compression in there. And so to make that spark hot enough to burn that pressurized gas, you need that huge kilovolt of energy to run through that gap of that plug to then ignite that high pressurized gas that's in there, right? You need that huge bump, that huge like cattle probe shock. Let's put it that way, if that makes like a taser, right? You need that to burn that to get it to ignite. But then you need the coil and the ignition system backed up behind it that can take that charge and then have still that long on time, that dwell time. So you do need a bigger gap with high power, high compression engines because of that. Now, when we're talking about your Honda Civic, your Toyota pickup, your Mazda pickup, we're not talking huge numbers here, right? Like 82 horsepower to the wheels, which is just blows my mind. It's awesome. But in that case, we don't need the big gap spark plug, and it's more critical to make sure that it's not too tight, because if it's too tight, then it's going the spark's going to be too easily ignited, and then you're going to have pre-ignition. So you don't want it too close, because you don't want pre-ignition. You don't want that, you know, where it's going to spark too soon. You want it gapped out just enough so when it sends it down, it's using the proper amount of voltage to make that gap, and it still has plenty of, let's just call it juice, plenty of juice left to have that dwell or that burn time through that spark plug. And to do that over and over and over, and as the caller called in, how many times it has to do that, right? So if you have a gap that's too wide and it's having to constantly spark over and over and over and constantly straining that coil, it's going to burn it up. It's going to overheat the coil, and then you're replacing other components, all because the spark plugs aren't gapped correctly. So to answer your question, spark plug gap, extremely important for the longevity of components. I hope that helps. I hope that helps somebody. But I gotta go. I'll see y'all next Saturday, 9 a.m. Have a great weekend. See ya.
Gearhead Radio with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Paso Robles on River Road. You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time, every time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.